step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Now, from the Star Rental Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All right, boys and girls, headlines on Softy and Dick Without Dick, of course, are brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
Softy is an idiot.
We got news from Huskyland. Jackson Kirkland, Zion Tupeloa-Fatui, Cade Otton, Sean McGrew, all announcing they are coming back for 2021. NFL news, former Washington football team quarterback Dwayne Haskins has cleared waivers. He is now a free agent. And how about this? In baseball, former Mariner first baseman Justin Smoke has found a new home, signing a one-year deal in Japan with the Yomiuri Giants of the Japanese Professional Baseball League. Let's get to Rick Neuheisel, courtesy of Taco Time right now.
Your home for college football Saturdays is live with CBS Sports analyst Rick Neuheisel. Powered by Taco Time. Hungry? At Taco Time, it's easy to create exactly what you're craving. And we wouldn't have it any other way. How do you Taco Time? Customize your meal and order ahead on the Taco Time Northwest app. Taco Time. Time for something different. Now with Rick Neuheisel, here's Softy and Dick.
All right, we will get Rick's Taco Time pick of the week in a matter of minutes. Be sure and order ahead at TacoTimeNW.com. Use the app as well. Download the app from the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. But here he is from CBS. I think it's been quite a while since the three of us have spoken on the air at the same time. Softy, Hugh Millen, Rick Neuheisel with us. Is this 2001? Is this 2002? What year is this? Huh?
It has been a while, but it's been too long. And I'm glad we are reconnected.
Indeed. Yeah, no, it's great, Rick. You're doing a phenomenal job. We stay riveted to everything you're doing. So keep up the great work. But I'll just give you an open-ended question. What's on your mind as we are on the eve of the bowl season about the state of college football and what's important to you?
Well, listen, we have to have an honest discussion about, is the college football playoff as it's currently constructed good for college football? My answer would be no. It has driven almost all five-star recruits to the same three schools, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and maybe some schools that get a chance to play those teams like LSU, like Georgia. I'd argue that North Carolina's parlaying it a little bit in recruiting. And certainly some of the teams in the Big Ten have also used it as an advantage, because if you knock out Ohio State, you've got a clear path to the college football playoff. But what's happened is not so much that we're going to change the fortunes of those three teams. I think those three teams are going to be, you know, college football elite for some time to come. But what we've done is we've turned the tables of recruiting all towards them. And with the new rules in recruiting, especially regarding transferring, now everybody can go there without worry. Because if I don't like it there or I don't make it there, I can transfer free of charge. I can go anywhere I want after the fact. And with that being said, why wouldn't I go to a place that obviously is a pipeline to the NFL, a pipeline to the college football playoff, and play for the big prizes? And to give some merit to what I'm saying, I'll just point out the best two quarterbacks in Southern California last year, usually guys that would have been in the Pac-12 playing on this side of the country, and you know, we would have been excited to watch their careers blossom. Bryce Young from Mater Dei and DJ Uiagalelei from St. John Bosco.
Nicely done.
Alabama and Clemson, respectively. Najee Harris, the kid who just was the SEC player of the game in the championship game in Atlanta, is from Northern California. And we have seen this exodus of players leaving the West Coast footprint because they want to play for the big prizes. And as we know, the Pac-12 has been a part of the college football playoff twice in 7 years. It has to change. It's not fair to the Pac-12. It's not fair to these other conferences that are outside looking in. It needs to change, and it doesn't going to change the fortunes of those three schools. That's my other argument, but it will change recruiting, and recruiting is, as we know, how you build your program.
Rick, I could not agree with you more, and I just have this image of like our descendants in 100 years thinking back to these times, laying out a map of the United States, and they're like, let me get this straight. Our answers saw a fit that we're gonna have an entity called college football, and we're gonna lop off the entire western portion of the United States, west of the Rockies, and we're not going to include them. That, to me, would be like the NFL saying, okay, we've got these divisions, but at the end of the year, let's have a bunch of guys sitting around in a hotel room and then decide what are the most what are the best teams out of the best divisions, and we'll just exclude the AFC and the NFC West. And all the people that live in that region, we're not going to have them part of the party in the playoffs. It's just nonsensical to me.
Well, we just sit and think about these power brokers. When was the last time they came out west to play? Now, I know Ohio State was on the schedule to come to Eugene this year. That didn't happen. Yeah. Michigan was going to play at Washington. And those kind of games we've got to all look forward to. But it's time that Larry Scott get some of those one-off games in that new SoFi Stadium down in Los Angeles or the new stadium in Las Vegas, and make sure we get some of those SEC teams to come west, yeah, rather than us always going that way to start the season. But expanding the playoff has got to be priority number one.
Well, can Larry Scott accomplish that? Because I'm with you 1,000%. I think you have to have multiple marquee games, neutral site settings in L.A. and Vegas, multiple games in Vegas, multiple games in L.A., maybe every single year. I don't know if Larry Scott has the cachet to pull that off, Rick.
Well, it just comes down to getting a sponsorship. I mean, Florida, for instance, giving you an example of a blue blood program from that portion of the country. From 1991 until 2000, I think whether it was 17 or maybe 16 or 17, had not traveled outside the state of Florida for a non-conference game. Mm-hmm. In the early 90s, they went up and played Syracuse, and in the 16 or 17 year, they came to Arlington to play Michigan for a $5 million check. That was the only reason they were traveling outside of their state. And if we're going to keep anointing those programs in that portion of the country as the best, and clearly with an eye test you would say they're the best, Alabama in particular this year, the point is we have to get them to come out and play outside that region. We have to get equal bites at the apple with these different regions of the country so that we can create some parity when it comes to recruiting. What you do in terms of developing a team, what you do in terms of coaching a team, that's on the individual institutions. But in terms of creating parity and recruiting, we have to make sure there's more inclusion in this college football playoff, in particular for these conferences that have been left outside looking in.
Rick Neuhausel with us. Rick, as you're talking about expanding the playoff, I, for one, am fond of the model that you take the four major bowls, Rose, Sugar, Orange, certainly, probably Fiesta, and the winners of those four advance on to the College Football Four. Obviously, that creates an 18 playoff, preserves a little bit of the tradition of the bowls. Is that kind of where you land? Are you a expand to 8, expand to 6, 16? What would be your favorite model or best model?
Well, listen, I'll take whatever I can get. It's like going
right,
and asking your parents,
exactly,
you know, for the car for the weekend. If they throw you the keys and say, be back at such and such time, you're not going to sit there and throw them back and say, I'm not going to take it now. Mm-hmm. I'll take whatever I can get. I think ideally what I would do is I would get rid of the college football, of the conference championships. I think those are just money grabs. I think when we're playing for, I think this, what we saw this year in some of the conferences like the ACC, where they just played one giant ACC, I think that's the way to do it rather than have divisions. You just play one and you get as many conference games as you can, and then you play, you just start seeding. And 8 would be a wonderful number. I would hope that we could ever eventually get to 12 with the top four teams getting a bye. and playing it. And I like your idea of using those major bowl games. If you did, as you just suggest, with an 8-team field, you could have the four quarterfinal games in four sites, the two semifinal games and the other two that are currently comprised of New Year's Day 6.
Yep.
And then you'd have a national championship game that would wander about the country like the Super Bowl does. So it could be really a neat model.
Well, Rick Neuheisel with us, courtesy of Taco Time. News just coming down that Ethan Garbers is going to go play for UCLA. We talked about that earlier. Is your son still down there, by the way? Did he have anything?
My son was working on that guy for the last weekend or so. Ever since he became available, he was pushing Chip to get all in on this deal because he really thinks the world of Ethan.
Well,
I know the Huskies are sorry to have him go.
Yep.
But they've got a nice little problem at quarterback with Sam rolling in and also Dylan doing such a nice job in his stint as the Husky quarterback this fall.
Well, UW has had four quarterbacks leave in the last year. Jacob Sermon, Colson Yankoff, Jay Kaner, and now Garbers. I mean, is that problematic of anything, or is that just kind of what happens when the room gets
That's quarterback 2020.
Yeah.
I mean, and worse than quarterbacks are quarterback dads. No, and Hugh and I are both quarterback dads.
Right.
But knowing, having stood around all the quarterback dads, you'll agree with me. These guys are kind of get wacky in terms of, you know, what they think their son should be and when he should be it.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
They want it, and they want it now. The fifth-year redshirt quarterback has become almost a dinosaur.
Well, and you're right. And for the players, we say, okay, hang on. In the old days, you could kind of map your plan. Like, hey, this is my route to the field. I'm sure you looked at your competition at UCLA and said, okay, I know I'm going to have to beat out this cat. He's really good, but I think I can do it. You know, for me, it was Chris Chandler to be able to play at Washington.
Yeah.
And I didn't think about the idea that new guys would be coming in. You mentioned I'm a quarterback dad. I didn't think that Oregon was going to bring in a guy who was a three-year starter at the ACC, you know, with 40 touchdown passes. I don't know how many games you have to start to get 40 touchdowns. But it kind of works both ways because the schools are saying, wait a minute, this is a different breed of kid. But I think the kids can say this is a different breed of school because the schools are looking as well. And sometimes guys are presented with scenarios that are unexpected.
100%. This transfer portal has become the wild, wild west. And if you don't like, if you ain't starting, you're departing. And there are going to be so many guys in that portal at all positions. And unfortunately, all those people are not going to get selected out. It is not the same as high school recruiting. There is no guaranteed happy ending. This is going to be a little bit of an interesting bout with real life for some of these kids that are determining I'm transferring, and they're not going to necessarily have the landing spot that they envisioned when they went into that portal.
Yeah, I love that phrase, by the way, and that sounds like an old country song. If you're not starting, you're departing. That's pretty good, Rick. I'm gonna steal that one. But Rick Neuheisel with us, courtesy of Taco Time.
The quarterback dad handbook, Sophie.
Yeah, not bad. Yeah, you guys are both nuts, by the way, the two of you, crazy dads. Notre Dame, Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson. Number one, did the committee get the four teams right, and do you see any upsets among those two games in the Final Four?
The committee got the four teams right based on the criteria that they laid out. I think there are a lot of people upset that Ohio State could get in with only that many games. But given that was the way the committee had it, you know, kind of pegged from the moment the Big Ten got back in, I don't think you can argue with it. Although it's a little bit blasphemous to say that Ohio State gets in with that few games and Indiana with a 6-1 record doesn't get to play in a New Year's Day game and gets to let Florida and Iowa State, both with three losses, take those spots. That's talking out of both sides of your mouth if you're the committee. You can't not have Indiana in there. And I'm not sure what went into that, but that was ridiculous, especially when their one loss was to the number three team in the country.
Sure. I agree with that. And in looking at if the committee is charged with who are the four best teams, you know, subjectively, it seems like, yeah, Ohio State certainly is one of the top four. But then is there some component of most deserving? It kind of reminds me, Dabo Swinney says, look, Trevor Lawrence has got to be a Heisman because he's the best player in the country. Well, that would be true if Trevor Lawrence, let's say with COVID or whatever, if Trevor Lawrence had only played one game, you could make an argument he's the best player in college football. The NFL is probably going to assert that fact in 5 months. Same with Ohio State. If they had played one game because of all kinds of crazy COVID things, then you could still probably say the eyeball test, they're in the top four. But how few games would you have to play for Ohio State? Evidently, six was enough. Was five enough? Four, three, two? At what point do you say it's not just whether you're the best, but you're also deserving of being recognized as the top four?
You're hitting the nail on the head. This is the big lament of all of us who are sitting here going, we need more inclusion. We need a bigger field so that we don't have to have these arguments. This is ridiculous. You can't win a conference and not have some place to go. That makes no sense. And college football can do better and must do better. And I know we have five more years of this college football playoff contract to run out, but the powers that be need to realize that this is a very, very hot button and needs to be addressed immediately so that we don't lose interest of a great portion of the college football fan base.
Rick, before you go, we'll get your Taco Time pick of the week in a second, but Hugh and I, before you came on, had a little bit of a debate about the number of bowl games that are out there. And in simple terms, I don't want to speak for you, but I will in the interest of time. Hugh believes that there, simply put, are just too many damn bowl games. You agree with that?
There are too many now, given what we're seeing with kids opting out of games. I think that is, definitely muddying the water of interest for the college football fan. I mean, they're great television shows. Yep. I'm looking forward to watching Colorado and Texas play a little later. But the bottom line is we need to make sure that there is enough allure to these games that players are going to want to continue and play. An expanded playoff to be at the end of the season. I've heard coaches talk about that. Hey, let's have the bowl game at the beginning of the year. Let's pick teams to play in a bowl game, a showcase type of scenario. Yep. To play at the beginning of the year and at the end of the year. That way we're not sitting there taxing them as much as we have, and we won't have as many opt-outs.
Daytona 500. Yeah.
We've got to come up with a solution, because right now for Florida to be going to the Cotton Bowl and Indiana staying home and Florida's quartet of receivers saying, yeah, but you guys go and have a good time, that's not good for the game.
Right.
And I don't blame the four kids. I don't blame them at all.
And just to respond, I liken it to the Olympics, where obviously everybody's shooting for a gold medal, but if you win a bronze, like, you're still an Olympic medalist. They only have three medals. And you and I, Rick, take 1980. There was 15 bowls. That was kind of our era. By 1990, there was 19. Now there's 40. You've got 62% of all power of Division I football, all the 130 playing in a bowl, and 66% of Power 5 teams playing in a bowl. I think it just kind of waters it down. I think if you went back to that, right around 15, then all of a sudden the bowls would really matter. I think there would be more television interest. I think the stadiums would be more packed. I think that's a problem. There'd be a cachet to the bowls. And I would add that I would want to have one per day leading up to New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, just to have that bowl really focused from the college football perspective. The world gets to focus on one bowl game.
You're hired. Let's make you the commissioner. I'm buying it. I mean, this is really nothing more than television stuff. ESPN has looked at it, run the pencil, the numbers add up, and it makes sense for them. Yeah. That's exactly why we have this many games. They want more content, and they've gotten it.
Absolutely. All right, man. Before you go, Taco Time pick of the week. I'm going to make things simple for myself. The old number one, the old reliable. That's the soft burrito combo. We'll stuff that bad boy with beef and go extra beef on the way home because I deserve it. Damn it. What's your Taco Time pick of the week, Rick?
I thought you were going to go with the old 96er, that big steak, right, that they had in that movie with John Candy.
Oh, God.
But I am going to go with, and let me say thank you to Taco Time for having me on the program over the course of the year. Wish everybody Happy New Year. I am going to go with the Oklahoma Sooners over those Florida Gators.
Okay.
As much as I love Kyle Trask and the way he played this year, I think without those guys, he'll be a little bit sidelined. He's not the most mobile of quarterbacks, getting it out of his hands to guys that aren't named Pitts and Tony, I think, is going to be a little bit problematic. I'm going to take the Sooners to finish off what's been quite a run for Spencer Rattler.
Perfect. Sooners given 4 as we speak in the Cotton Bowl over Oklahoma, over Florida, excuse me. Hey, listen, man, great stuff. Appreciate this, and let's do it again soon, buddy. Thanks for jumping on the show, as always, man.
Take care, and wishing you and yours all the best in 2021.
Back at you. Thanks, Rick.
All right.
See you now.
You bet. Rick Neuheisel. We've got a break. Walter Jones will join us on the air at 5:45 tonight right here on Softy and Dick with Hugh and for Dick on 950 KJ.
Now back to Softy and Dick on your home for the 12th man in the NFL. Seattle's original diehard sports station. Sports Radio 950 KJR.
That was a hot mess inside a dumpster fire, inside a train wreck.
All right, Hugh Millen, Softy, that's me. Hi, hanging out until 7 o'clock. Curtis Crabtree's in the control booth doing I have no idea what. You okay there, pal? You need something?
I'm fine.
Yeah, all right. Good to have you here, pal. We appreciate you filling in for our buddy Jackson Phelps. He's got a couple days off as well. We're back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Harlan, Florio, Petros, Kate Otten will join us on the show, the whole spiel. But the numbers for the Seahawks defense, Hugh, the last 7 games are awesome. Tied for first in scoring, tied for first in sacks, blah, blah, blah. They also have played some of the worst offenses in the NFL, in the Giants, the Jets, Washington, Philadelphia, and the Rams are now 19th overall in scoring. Troy Aikman made a comment during the broadcast on Sunday that stood out to me when he was talking about how a lot of us are wondering how the Seahawks defense would look against a really good offense. And he said, I'm not even sure if you can call the Rams a good offense right now. You saw what happened against the Jets, and then they scored 9 points against the Seahawks. Guys are banged up. Their running backs are all banged up. They're not in sync passing-wise. Do you see right now in L.A. what you would consider a above-average offense that would be a good test for any defense in the NFL?
I think not right now, and I think it's really shocked me. I go back, and I've been studying this Ram offense for a long time. I think Sean McVay has garnered real accolades throughout the NFL circles, and I think well-deserved. I think he had a really creative offense. I mean, I've got a folder here on my computer. Jared Goff passes weeks 1 through 4, 2018 season. Jared Goff, touchdown passes, 2018 season, you know.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Weeks 5 through 10, as a high school passing game coordinator, that's something I've really studied. And the characteristics of Sean McVay along with Jared Goff offense, in my mind, first of all, they're always one or two in terms of under center. They're rarely in shotgun. When they are in shotgun, they're throwing all the time. They are more out of play action. They have a higher percentage of the passes out of play action than anybody. So when they were really going good, they had Todd Gurley on the stretch play, the wide zone. And the wide zone, you could run that if you just had one play to call. If somebody said to an NFL offensive coordinator, you only get one running play for the entire game, everybody picked the outside zone, because as you start to go the outside zone, if a hole develops inside, you, the proverbial saying, you put your foot in the ground. I don't know where else you'd put your foot, but you put your foot in the ground and you go north and you get up in the hole. So an outside zone can be an inside run. So they had Todd Gurley, a great outside zone runner. Then they had the naked bootleg. And I'm telling you, Jared Goff, the degree of difficulty off of those concepts where he's throwing on the run deep down the field, 25-yard corner routes and 18-yard over routes, it's high degree of difficulty. The play action over the middle, and then they had a great screen game. I mean, a very creative screen game. And Todd Gurley, he was like Marshall Faulk in terms of great instincts of where to catch the ball. They got as much out of the screen game as anybody with Todd Gurley, and I think more so we heard that simile is like a snowflake. Screen passes, when you draw it up, it's truly like a snowflake. The defense is always going to change, and you never get it exactly the same. Gurley had this incredible ability to A, catch the ball, B, find the creases. And so all of those aspects have just dried up. And, right. I'll just finish on this thought. Remember the interception that he had on Sunday to Quandre Diggs?
Mm-hmm.
So, and Troy Aikman.
Too.
Yeah, he should have. But Aikman says, I have no idea what he was seeing. Well, as I look at it, I agree with Troy, but it was an off-schedule play. And if you were to have him explain, said, you know what, I thought Robert Woods was going to take a slightly different angle. We were playing off script. I just misinterpreted. It was a stupid decision because it was first and 10, and we had just had three out of the last four plays. We had double-digit gains. We had all the momentum. That was a stupid, stupid play by Goff. But the series before that, when Jamal Adams dropped that interception, remember that?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
For me, having been in an NFL quarterback meeting room, that almost was more alarming to me than the interception for the following reason. That was a four verticals play. Yeah. Every offense in football has four verticals. Just line up four guys and run them down the field. You got to hit that between 18 and 22 yards down the field, because anything beyond 22, the free safety can make a play. Corners can come in. It's just, there's a certain timing that's just inherent in good quarterback play. You got to complete between 18 and 22. And that ball's on the 33-yard line, and Adams had the interception drop on the 7. And so that's way too far down the field to execute. And so there's just a breakdown in what they're doing. I think it's topical for us because they're in our division, right?
Right. Yeah, for sure.
Now, 26 yards down the field on a seam route, you are not executing at an NFL quarterback level. That you got to anticipate it much sooner. You can't hold the ball. You got to knife that in there.
Yeah.
And
Let me ask you a question. The interception that Jamal Adams dropped, should he have caught that? He's got the finger injury, maybe even multiple fingers that are bothering him. You can catch the ball with your hands, obviously, and not your fingers, and you can try to make a play. And I'm sure he tried to make a play. And Jamal Adams doesn't have the best ball skills to begin with as far as his hands. He's kind of like Azeez Ngai in that regard. Remember him, the old center for UW?
Yeah.
Had no thumbs. Is that a ball that you think he should have caught?
Well, broken fingers notwithstanding, absolutely. I mean, Coach Baird, he'll always remind you with Don James, a dropped interception was not a plus for a pass defense, because in the NFL, you get officially a pass defense,
right,
which is a good thing. In Don James' grading system, that was a double minus. You dropped an interception. So
right.
I don't know how you grade it with two broken fingers. You don't expect him to be. We've seen enough already.
Right.
He's only got two interceptions in his entire career.
Right.
Exactly. Ronnie Lott had 63. Like he's a DB. We always say on the offensive side of the ball, DBs are wide receivers who can't catch. And I think Jamal Adams shows us that.
Let's do this. Walter Jones will join us for a short segment. We'll get some thoughts from him on what he saw against the Rams, what's going to come for the Hawks. Walter Jones, courtesy of Skagit's Best Salsa, next right here on 950 KJ.
Naples.
To my fellow Hall of Famers, I am so honored to wear this gold jacket. I wear it with pride, and I promise to respect all it represents as long as I live.
It's time to talk to NFL Hall of Famer Walter Jones. Brought to you by Skagit's Best Salsa Company. Crafted gourmet fresh cilantro salsa with quality ingredients for more than 10 years. And by Real Steel. Find find yours. Visit your local Steel dealer today. Now, Walter Jones on your home for the 12th man in the NFL. Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
All right, boys and girls, here we go. Big thanks to Skagit's Best Salsa, sponsoring the shindig every week. Walter Jones with us. Big Walt, how are you, pal? What's going on?
I'm doing good, man. How you guys doing?
We are good. You know that since 2002, the year the Seahawks moved to the NFC, the Seahawks have won 9 division titles. Nobody else has won more than 4. The Seahawks have been to the playoffs 13 times. Nobody else has been there more than 5. Do you remember anything about when you guys made that move from the AFC to the NFC? And could you ever imagine it paying off the way it did for this franchise?
You never think about that, you know what I'm saying? I'm one of those guys that came into a team that was bad, you know. You always say when you get drafted high, that means the team is bad. So for me to come here, you know me, I was a rural guy from Alabama, so I didn't know no different. So I just wanted to play in the NFL. But now that this run that the Seahawks are doing, setting the standard, I think it's after the, 05 season, I think we just set the standards. And then with the 2013 team, the standards are set already for the fans and everything. You know, if we don't get, you know, the division and have an opportunity to play in the Super Bowl, it's considered a bust now. And I think that's what you want to build when you come to a team like the Seattle Seahawks, where the standard is set that we want to win it every year.
Well, I like the fact that you say we, because you're so central to the history of the franchise. I'm curious in that regard. Maybe you could just share with us. We know in the NFL locker that guys are really proud of their alma mater, the college. You know, if their colleges are playing each other, there's side bets going on, and there's that school pride. Maybe just talk to us about the pride you may have as being a Seahawk. You know, that's your in essence, it's your pro football alma mater. When Seattle wins a division like this and they have the kind of success, what is it like for Walter Jones in a day to day, just kind of intermingling with your friends and what have you, and the pride you may have for being a Seahawk?
Oh, it's totally there. I tell people all the time that I love the Seattle Seahawks. I love the NFL. It's been good to me. It changed my life. It changed my family life. It changed my friends' life. So I don't have nothing bad to say. You know, for me to come here to be a cornerstone for this team, you know, get drafted high and then being able to be, you know, my entire career here in Seattle was pretty amazing. So for me, I love it. Like I tell people all the time, if the Seahawks win, I win too, because there's not a lot of us, there's not a lot of Seahawks Hall of Famers, guys that haven't been announced as Hall of Famers yet. So for me personally, I tell the guys all the time, when I joke with them, I tell them all the time, I say, guys, you guys win, I win. So for me personally, because now you have to have someone that represents the Seattle Seahawks. So for me personally, that's what I live my every day, is trying to, you know, let people know that I'm from the Seattle Seahawks. And
That's how fired up he is to be a Seattle Seahawk.
Speechless.
Just hung up the phone. His phone just cut out and he dropped right there. Curtis, if you want to call him back, man, go ahead and get Walter back on the show. But, you know, look, man, I go back to that second half on Sunday. You're tied at 6-6, and the Hawks come out. They score in the opening drive of the second half. They get the game-winning drive late in the fourth quarter. They outscore the Rams 14-3. To me, it looked like, yeah, there were some adjustments the Hawks made that the Rams didn't on Sunday.
Yeah, and I think that they, you know, I'm thinking about the play that got them going was that play to David Moore up the sideline. Yep. And I just kind of smile. Like, you can smile because you win the football game, but it was an awful decision by Russell to throw the football. I mean, he had 20 yards out in front of him. It was a sure thing, and he chose to take what could be described as a 1-in-10 maybe shot with David Moore.
Yeah,
but he threw the perfect throw. So his perfect throw bailed out a very, very questionable decision to have thrown the ball, and that's what he had done down in L.A. through an interception. But it was just his night in that regard on Sunday.
Well, Walter's back with us. Walter, same question to you. What did you see in the second half that kind of allowed the Hawks to separate from the Rams on Sunday, man?
I thought they made the adjustment. I thought Russell did the things that he needed to do. I thought that Russell, the last couple of weeks, Russell's been doing taking what the defense give him and not trying to, you know, throw the deep pass. I think everybody want to see it. We want to see DK go for 100 every game. But I thought Russell did a great job of not pressuring that. and kind of played the game the way that we need Russell to play. I think this is the way Russell needs to play. You know, making those plays where he needs to make down the field when he has to, like the old saying, let Russell cook. This is the type of Russell, let Russell cook. Keep the game close, and now Russell play here and a play there to beat you in the end, and that's what happened in the game.
And the play here and the play there, that was that drive with 7:20 remaining, Walt, when the Hawks had just the 13 to 9 lead. And there was a play there that I thought of you because it was the floater. Remember when Russ kind of came forward, Dave, and he floated the ball to Tyler Lockett, and it ended up being a 24-yard gain. Walt, I know you saw it. The Seahawks lined up with two tight ends to Russell's right, and so they blocked the defensive end to Russell's right. And then there was turn protection, and Aaron Donald was lined up over Dwayne Brown. Now, if it's Walter Jones, we don't care if it's Aaron Donald or Reggie White or anybody over there. You can handle them, but because they turned protection away from the two tight ends blocking, here's Simmons, the left guard, goes and helps Dwayne Brown on Aaron Donald. And I'm only imagining if Big Walt had to handle Aaron Donald, he could. But if he's getting help from Steve Hutchinson because of that turn protection and you get to double team him, that had to be something. You know, Dwayne Brown has said, boy, hallelujah, I get the help from the inside to double team Aaron Donald. What was your thought on that play and those type of schemes?
You know what? You never turn down help. I always tell the coaches that. I never turn it down help. But, you know, still, again, you understand what you on this team for. But anytime you get a guy coming to you to slow a guy down, like, you know, even though, you know, you thinking I can block him or you thinking Dwayne can block him, still, and again, you know the protection is coming to you. So now that's going to help you out with your set. You know, now you say, okay, I don't got to worry about the inside because I got a guy that's going to – if he decide to go inside – I'm going to be right there. That's a guy right there. So now you can attack that defense end, and now you can lock him up. Especially a guy like Donaldson, you want to get your hands on him quick, and you don't want to get your hands removed. So that's the key to blocking him. When you get your hands on him, you got to keep your hand on him. So now you can do that, and then you got the guard helping you with inside technique.
Well, before you go, I want to ask you something. So the Hawks are obviously fighting for the one seed, need some help this weekend. So it's a long shot they get it, but with the one seed, there's only one of them in each conference this year, and obviously there's no fans allowed at the majority of these stadiums. I guess you could maybe have a couple of them in Green Bay and maybe a few of them in New Orleans, but nobody to really make a significant impact on the game itself. Does the one seed mean as much to you this year, you think, with the idea that the fans aren't even there?
I think it means a lot. You know, you still get a chance to play. You know, you get that one seed, and now you're playing two games to get to, you know, it's kind of the same way. Anybody want those odds where now you're getting two games at home. If you win both of these games, you're going to the Super Bowl. I think the Seahawks have been a part of that for the last, three times we've been made it to the Super Bowls, we had the number one seed or had an opportunity to be the number one seed. So anytime you can get that number one seed, no matter how the format is made, and you're telling me now all I got to do is win two games, you got the best record, so you know how to win. So it definitely still means a lot to all these teams if they can get that first round bye. And now you're saying all we got to do now is win two games at home and get to the Super Bowl. So well, that number one seed still means a lot.
You got it, man. Listen, awesome stuff. Have a great New Year's Eve. Don't get in too much trouble, pal. We'll talk in a week, buddy, all right?
All right, man. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Walt.
Man, Walter Jones with us on the air. We're going to break Hugh Millen with us. John Wilner coming up. Jackson Kirkland coming up all in the 6 p.m. hour right here on 950K.
Now, from the Star Rentals Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All righty, boys and girls, headlines on Safi and Dick. With that, Dick, brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
Oh, my Lord, 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 Lord.
We got good news for Husky football. First of all, yesterday, Jackson Kirkland, Zion, Tupeloa Fatui, KDOT, and Sean McGrew all announcing they will return to UW for their senior seasons in 2021. Former UW quarterback Ethan Garbers has announced on Twitter he will play football next year starting at UCLA. And there is a bowl game in progress right now. We're not allowed to watch it because you said we can't watch it. But the Cheez-It Bowl happening right now. Oklahoma State leading Miami 37-34. 4:14 to go in the fourth quarter. Oklahoma State quarterback Spencer Sanders, 27-39, 305, four touchdowns for the Cowboys so far. NCAA basketball, Arizona self-imposing a one-year postseason ban after the Wildcats were hit with 9 NCAA violations, including the dreaded lack of institutional control. In the NFL, former Washington football team quarterback Dwayne Haskins has cleared waivers
He is now a free agent. You and I both saw Dwayne Haskins play in person at the Rose Bowl a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Would you have bought that night that he would be a first-round draft pick and then cut 2 years later?
I would have bought he would be a first-round draft pick. Never that he'd be cut. You know, just a quick thought on that Arizona, by the way. When you think of the very origins of civilization, and you got to have punishment, right?
Yeah.
For means of deterrency, for penalty, for rehabilitation. There's objectives involved with penalties. Why not a simple bedrock thought that you want to punish the guilty people and don't punish innocent people? And yet when we have these situations, it's always the players who only have 4 years.
What are you talking about? Are you talking about Arizona now? Are you talking about Dwayne Haskins? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about Arizona.
Because I asked you about Dwayne Haskins. Now you're talking about Arizona.
I know. I thought I answered Dwayne Haskins
did?
And then redirected back to Arizona.
Okay. You can't,
if I did not apologize.
Because you kind of pulled a Baird there, just so you know. So.
Yeah. Are you
I
sure?
asked you about the running backs. Now you're talking about the punter.
We'll play the transcript back.
All right. Go for it. Yeah.
But in any event, I'm just curious your thought, because my thought is the whole idea that we just say, all right, we have this institution. Well, guess what? Institutions are just brick and mortar. It's the people in the institution. Find the people who perpetrated the misdeed and have a structure to penalize them,
not
the innocent players who had nothing to do with it, who may have been in middle school when that, you know, for example, why not have a portion of the salary for college coaches kept in some escrow?
Yeah.
And if 5 years after he's done earning it, there's no violation that has been perpetrated by him, then he can get his money then. But that's how you penalize the people who actually perpetrate the misdeeds. They're talking about they're gonna go on a 1 year tournament ban.
Right.
So the players for Arizona, who had nothing to do with that, they're the ones who are gonna have to suffer. And they only have a four-year career. You could have a coaching career of 40 years. Okay, one tournament. If I don't go to the tournament this year, no big deal. What if you're a senior on that team?
Yeah.
I just think that – and I thought the same thing for Penn State when they got the death penalty, the semi-death penalty for the whole Joe Paterno fiasco.
Well, no.
And the Sandusky deal.
The Jerry Sandusky thing. Yeah, no, I – well, first of all, my thought on the Sandusky thing was that I think hurting the players for what Jerry Sandusky did was ludicrous, totally ludicrous, number one, because those kids had nothing to do with that. I mean, all of a sudden, Penn State's not in a bowl game because Jerry Sandusky molested kids. I mean, to me, that doesn't jive at all with what is fair. I do think that the school has to pay a bigger price, and the problem is there's also the element of competition, meaning if those kids were there and they're good partially because they were playing with players that were recruited illegally, I mean, what do? Do you just then get rid of the players that shouldn't have been there, but then they still get to count all the wins they had that got them to a 2 seed or a 3 seed or a conference championship? At some point, they rode the backs of a lie to get to where they were going. I mean, Arizona's got a good record. They're not a great team, but their record's okay. There's been plenty of teams that have made bowl games or made tournaments because they played with players that shouldn't have been there. So what do? Go back and wipe out the whole thing and start over again? At some point, you'll get to a point where you know it's just not going to be fair. You have to do the right thing. And I agree, penalizing the kids is the wrong thing.
Well, I think one thing you don't do is say you're not eligible for the tournament.
Yeah.
You can make the players who violated the rules and committed impermissible acts, you could have them ineligible, but the rest of the players, don't take away their NCAA tournament.
Right.
Find the people who did it and either fine them or jail them, depending on the gravity of the violation. In the case of Penn State, the people that did it and knew about it should be jailed. It's real simple.
Well,
fined and jailed.
I mean,
but shouldn't.
Sean
go
Miller,
on 2 years of probation.
Sean Miller may walk away with millions of dollars, you know?
Exactly.
Arizona doesn't go to the tournament. Meantime, Sean Miller is getting a gigantic package to walk away and go retire somewhere and have tens of millions of dollars in his back pocket. So it is a little bit ridiculous. There's no question about that. Hey, before we get to John Wilner, I want to ask you one open-ended question about Russell Wilson. How do you think he's playing right now?
I think he's playing okay, not great by his standards. I think that he's trying to adapt. I think this has been a season of adaptation to him. I think that early on it was clear the let Russ cook mentality. There's no doubt in my mind that that pervaded Pete Carroll's thought a little bit. Mm-hmm. He's like, okay, well, let's see. Let's see. We're paying him all this money. And then through the middle of the season when he was committing those turnovers, I think he went back to, all right, enough. I've seen enough. Let's go back to the Seahawk way.
Right.
And so now, Russ, even with the Giant game, he took five sacks, four of which were his fault, holding the ball. And so they came back after that game and they said, all right, well, let's really get into the quick game, the catch and throw, the shotgun, just like turning two with a double play in baseball, mm-hmm. right? Just catch and throw. He's a middle infielder. He's used to that. Well, you saw on Sunday, the Rams, they were jumping some of those plays. They've seen that for three straight weeks. And there was almost a couple of interceptions because there wasn't enough creativity in the short game. Brian Schottenheimer just kept dialing up the same concepts. And by the way, I'm not going to get into what they are, but the concepts literally are first day installs in minicamp. Even for me at the high school level, they're first day installs. These are simple concepts. The Rams were jumping those things. So Russ was lucky he didn't get a couple interceptions there, but his pocket presence got to improve, and then there's got to be more creativity from Schottenheimer, and I think it starts there.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, let's do this. We're going to break. John Wilner will join us. Speaking of Arizona, what's happening with the Arizona basketball situation? John Wilner has a thought on the Oregon-Iowa State Fiesta Bowl, a thought on the Alamo Bowl tonight, a thought on UW getting all those guys back from yesterday. John Wilner, Simply Seattle, coming up next.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.